Morning, everyone. Today is the 12th of October. It's Thursday morning. Mark is continuing to read in the book, The Holy Spirit by Arthur Pink. He's ready for Chapter 8, Part 1. If you want a copy of this book, you can go to Amazon.com. I'm not promoting Amazon, but it's just one of the better buys. You can get a copy for around 10 bucks if you go to Amazon.com. Holy Spirit, Chapter 8, Part 1. The advent of the Spirit is highly important. We should closely observe how each of the eternal three has been at marked pains to provide for the honor of the other divine persons. We must be as particular to give it to them accordingly. How careful was the Father to duly guard the ineffable glory of the darling of his bosom when he had laid aside the visible insignia of his deity and took upon him the form of a servant. His voice was in her and more than once proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." How constantly did the incarnate Son divert attention from himself and directed into the one who had sent him. In like manner, the Holy Spirit is not here to glorify himself, but rather him whose vicar and advocate he is, John 16:14. Blessed is it then to mark how jealous both the Father and the Son have been to safeguard the glory and provide for the honor of the Holy Spirit. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come, John 16:7. He will not do these works while I am here, and I have committed all to him. As my Father hath visibly committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. John 5:22-23. So I and my Father will send him, having committed all these things to him, that all men might honor the Holy Spirit, even as they honor the Father and the Son. Thus wary and careful are every one of the persons provided for the honor of each other in our hearts. T. Goodman, 1670. The public advent of the Spirit for the purpose of ushering in and administering the new covenant was second in importance only unto the incarnation of our Lord, which was in order to the winding up of the old economy and laying the foundations of the new. When God designed the salvation of his elect, he appointed two great means, the gift of his Son for them and the gift of his Spirit to them, thereby each of the persons in the Trinity being glorified. Hence, from the first entrance of sin, there were two great heads to the promises which God gave his people, sinning of his Son to obey and die, the sinning of his Spirit to make effectual the fruits of the former. Each of these divine gifts was bestowed in a manner suited both the august giver himself and the nature of the gifts. Many and marked are the parallels of correspondence between the advent of Christ and the advent of the Spirit. 1. God appointed that there should be a signal coming according unto the descent of each from heaven to earth for the performance of the work assigned them, just as the Son was presented, just as the Son was present with the redeemed, is reliance long before his incarnation, Acts 7:37-38, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Yet God decreed for him a visible and more formal advent, which all of his people knew of, so through the Holy Spirit was given to work regeneration in men, and all through the Old Testament era, Nehemiah 9:20, etc., and moved the prophets to deliver their messages. 2 Peter 1:21. Nevertheless, God ordained that he should have the coming in the state in a solemn manner, accompanied by visible tokens and glorious effects. Both the advents of Christ and of the Spirit were the subjects of Old Testament prediction during the past century, which has been written upon the messianic prophecies, but the promises which God gave concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit constitute a theme which generally neglected. The following are among the principal pledges which God made. Spirit should be given unto and poured out upon his saints. Psalm 68:18, Proverbs 1:23, Isaiah 32:15, Ezekiel 36:26-29, Joel 2:28, Haggai 2:9, and then the sin of the Holy Spirit was definitely announced. This was the incarnation of the Savior in Isaiah 7:14. Just as Christ had John the Baptist to announce his incarnation, prepare his way, so the Holy Spirit had Christ himself to foretell his coming, to make ready the hearts of his own for his advent. Just as it was not until the fullness of time had come that God had sent forth his Son, Galatians 4:4, so it was not until the day of Pentecost has fully come that God sent forth his Spirit, Acts 2:1-5, as the Son became incarnate in the Holy Land, Palestine, so the Spirit descended out. In Jerusalem, 6, just as the coming of the Son of God into this world was especially signalized by mighty wonders and signs, so the Son of God, the Spirit, was attended and attested by stirring displays, divine power. The advent of each was marked by supernatural phenomena. The angel choir, Luke 2:13, found its counterpart in the sound from heaven, Acts 2:1, and the Shekinah glory, Luke 2:9, and the tongues of fire, Acts 2:3-7, and the extraordinary star marked the house where the Christ child was, Matthew 2:9, so a divine shaking marked the house to which the Spirit had come, Acts 2:2. Aid in connection with the advent of Christ, there was both a private and a public aspect to it. In like manner, too, was in the giving of the Spirit, the birth of the Savior is made known unto a few, but when he was to be made manifest to Israel, John 1:31. Was publicly identified for his baptism, the heavens were opened. Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father audibly owned him as his Son. Correspondingly, the Spirit was communicated to the apostles privately when the risen Savior breathed on and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," John 20:22, and later he came publicly on the day of Pentecost when all the great throng then in Jerusalem were made aware of his descent, Acts 2:32-36. The advent of the Son was in order to his becoming incarnate when the eternal Word was made flesh, John 1:14. So too, the advent of the Spirit was in order to his becoming incarnate and Christ redeemed. As the Savior had declared to them, "The Spirit of truth shall be in you," John 14:17. This is a truly marvelous parallel. As the Son of God became man dwelling in a human temple, John 2:19. So the third person of the Trinity took up his abode in men, to whom it is said, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" 1 Corinthians 3:16. So the Lord said to the Father, "A body hast thou prepared me," Hebrews 10:5. So the Spirit can say to Christ, "A body that body hast thou prepared me," see a vision 2:22. Let me read all this.
It shows you where to stop.
Stop. 10. When Christ was born into this world, we were told that Herod was troubled in all Jerusalem. I'm not done. I'm not done. A stopping point. Okay.
Do you see where it says?
Yes. All Jerusalem with him, Matthew 2:3. In like manner, when the Holy Spirit was given, we read, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were troubled in mind, Acts 2:5-6. 11, it had been predicted that when Christ should appear, he would be unrecognized and unappreciated, Isaiah 53. So it came to pass, in like manner, the Lord Jesus declared, "The Spirit of truth of the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him," John 14:17. 12, messianic claims of Christ were called into question, so the heaven and the spirit was at once challenged. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Acts 2:12-13. The analogy is yet closer, as Christ was termed as a wine bibber, Matthew 11:19. So those filled with the Spirit, it was said, these men are full of new wine, Acts 2:13-14. The public advent of Christ was heralded by John the Baptist, John 1:29. So the mean, the public descent of the Spirit was interpreted by Peter, Acts 2:15-36-15, God appointed unto Christ to execute him a stupendous work, even that of purchasing the redemption of his people. Even so, the Spirit has been assigned the momentous task of effectually applying to his elect the virtues and benefits of his atonement. 16, as in the charge of his work, the Son honored the Father, John 14:10. So in the fulfillment of his mission, the Spirit glorifies the Son, John 16:13-14. 17, as the Father paid a holy deference unto the Son by bidding the disciples, "Hear ye him," Matthew 17:5. In like manner, the Son shows respect for his paraclete by saying, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," Revelation 2:7. 18, as Christ committed his saints into the safe having keeping of the Holy Spirit, John 16:7. John 14:16. So the Spirit will yet deliver up those saints unto Christ, as the word receive in John 14:3 plainly implies. What trust we trust that the reader will find the same spiritual light in pursuing his articles the writer had in preparing it.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Tomorrow we'll continue part 2 of chapter 8. Hope you all have a good day today.